You know, there's nothing better than watching football on Thanksgiving, unless you're a Detroit fan like me. Then it can ruin your turkey.
Well, not this year.
Yeah, we could win it.
You're having a good year.
We are doing pretty well.
But not as good as these guys on FanDuel.
No, those guys on FanDuel are killing it.
I know. They make me sick. They're winning so much money.
The money is just unbelievable. We got to call these guys for a loan, like this guy Joe Watson from New York. Played fantasy football on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks, and he won $30,000.
Gee, he's going to buy the Jets.
He could, yeah. You know, it's the greatest league because, first of all, the entry fee is really low. It's just a dollar, okay, where you can start at.
Right.
And then, you know, the other thing is there's no commitment.
That's the really coolest thing, yeah. Is you can change your team. You have a bad Thanksgiving, you change your team, you have a whole new team on Sunday.
You don't have to play every week if you don't want to.
No, but you could.
You could.
I just like how you can change your teams. I think that's the coolest thing about it. And if you're a Puck Off fan, which you are, you're listening, use the code P-U-C-K, Puck, in the top corner after you hit the microphone. It'll double your money up to $200.
That's right. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200. That's $200 free, and the offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code PUCK. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today, guys. All right, guys, Fraser Smith here. It is Puck Off time, and my partner Joe Bartnick is here. Joe, why don't you introduce our special guest?
We have a very special guest, as well as being a phenom hockey goaltender in Canada. For all you Canadians listening, you may remember him. He's also like ranked in the top five hairdressers in the world.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. And he's a super cool guy. The great Eli Thomas.
Yeah, man. Him.
And he knows a ton about
one
hockey.
One guy's applauding me.
Which is great. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sean,
I
was. Come on.
Yeah. And Sean is back in command. Maria is away for Thanksgiving. So the big dog is here.
He's here.
So we got to watch out. And Frazier's wearing Detroit Red Wing collar, not wearing the usual suit. Casual Wednesday here.
I had to represent on the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's great.
I just found this shirt at the house, and I'm like, okay, I got to go.
And your bold statements last week kind of held up. Nyquist had another great week.
You know, I last week, Eli, I said he was the best player in the NHL. I know that's a stretch.
That's tough.
But, you know,
that's tough.
I'm saying a lot, I know.
Yeah, he's a great player.
But he is a great young player, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Detroit does probably the best job in the league at developing
players. Yeah.
And Steven Weiss is back.
Weiss scored a couple of goals.
He scored a couple this weekend, and I remember last year doing this show, I said, Steven Weiss is going to make a difference. I didn't know he was going to spend 2 years in the hospital, but now he's back, and he scored. I mean, that's exactly what, I mean, watch out for the Detroit Red Wings now that Weiss is available.
Yeah, Weiss really helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're playing great hockey. I think Tatar is...
Tatar's awesome, too, isn't he?
Unbelievable player. Yeah.
He schooled Pollock the other night in Toronto. Did you see that? Yeah. Danced him.
Well, we got a great young team. And as you know, that coach, Mike Babcock, great with young players.
Yeah, Babs is unbelievable. I love just watching him on the bench, you know, because he looks like at any point he could just say, you know, where are we? Like, what barn are we in right now? Guys, I don't know where we are right now. You know, he does this confused thing.
And yeah, I think he looks a little confused.
Yeah, and he's always done it. And it's kind of like sleight of hand, I think. You know, he doesn't play his cards about what he knows.
He's doing it on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he's sly like a fox.
I've known a few guys that played on that team, and they'll just go to war for that guy. They love that guy. He's a player's coach. So that's for sure.
And I saw Dave Holland interviewed on the CBC the other night. What a great GM. I mean, you have the best combo in hockey. Holland and Babcock are the two best
combined. Got a great front office and a great coach. And, you know, it's in young players.
They got some young players coming, and the great thing about that is they got some incredible leadership that you know, is really passing it on to them. You know, you look at Zetterberg, you look at you know, Datsyuk, obviously. You know, their time is coming. You know, it's
and knock on wood, they're gonna make the playoffs again. Yeah. The year 25.
Yeah. Yeah. I can bust this shirt out again. Yeah, yeah, it's exciting to see the young guys because that's really the future.
Yeah, and Cronwall, I just love watching Cronwall play. He's just hard hitting. Great defenseman.
You're right about the old guys sort of guiding these guys. I think that you need that blend, don't you?
Yeah, always.
The veterans and the young players.
Well, there's so much to playing in the NHL that has little to do with hockey. You know, you got to remember, these guys are young. They're coming out of small towns and small teams. And the pro life is challenging. And if you don't have some guys around to keep your feet on the ground, it's a tough road, and that back and forth from the AHL lifestyle to the NHL lifestyle, you know, it takes a specific type of guy to really be able to
make
handle
those
that.
Adjustments.
And the older guys are the guys that, you know, you need in practice to, you know, encourage those young guys and pat them on the back, even if they're getting ahead, you know, they're getting sent back, you know.
You know, it's true, and I was we had Ian Bagg on my radio show, and Ian's a comedian now who's a great comic, and he's a former player. Mm-hmm. And he was saying he had a Whalers T-shirt on.
Oh.
I said, where did you get that? And he goes, my wife got me a Whalers T-shirt and a Nordiques T-shirt.
Love it.
Yeah. And so he was saying that his buddy had played for a little while with the Whalers, and that Gordie Howe would stick around after practice and hang out with his buddy when Howe was playing for the Whalers and show him tricks and show him little moves. And that had made this kid's career.
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of his name, but...
Gordie Howe. I had the good fortune of meeting him. I only met him once, and I met him in Halifax, Nova Scotia, when I was a kid. And they had some kind of celebrity all-star game at the Metro Center in Halifax, for anybody that knows that place. And Gordie Howe was there, and I got to meet him afterwards. And he was just the nicest guy. He took 5 minutes with me and my brother, and I'll never forget it. We're in the underground, you know, where they're moving the buses in to pick up the players and stuff. And he's asking me what position I play, and he's writing an autograph, you know, to Eli, best always, Gordie Howe, right? And this old station wagon, you know, a station wagon with the wood paneling rolls up, and he's got to go and jump in this car. And he says, all right, kiddo. He said, well, keep playing hard. And he elbowed me right in the forehead against a padded wall behind me. And I'll never forget it.
That's actually a compliment.
Yeah, it was a huge – at the time, I didn't know what to think, but I liked it, you know.
He's always against goaltenders. Gordy doesn't like goaltenders. Well, you have tons. You know tons. I mean, you know one of my all-time favorite goons of all time you were just on the phone with.
Yeah, he's my best friend in the world. Brant Myers had an illustrious, let's call it illustrious career in the NHL. I think Brant had 12 teams in the end. Had a lot of adversity for the real hockey fanatics out there. You probably heard that his story went up and down, and as a lot of those fighters.
He's a modern day. Yeah. He's like a modern day Bobby Probert.
Yeah, well, him and Probe were really. We're really close. In fact, they were really tight. In fact, all the guys, all the fighters in the league
are pretty good buddies.
It's a fraternity.
Yeah,
because it's a very tough job to do.
Oh man,
you know, and they have a lot of respect for each other. You know, you think that they hate each other, and they don't. I mean, it's very rare that they have a job to do, and if you're going to step in front of 20,000 and have a bare knuckles fight, you better respect your opponent,
Actually cool to hear that.
Yeah, it's great. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, but it's a job that they do, and so they really look up to each other. You know,
that's cool.
Yeah, and Brant actually made Proby's fight his book actually. So there's
the book?
Go read Probert's book. there's a funny story in there about the first time I think the new coach of I forget who Proby was playing for at the time. Asked him to jump the boards and said, you're going to fight Myers. And he never in his career had anybody ever tapped him on the shoulder to make him go do his job.
Right.
And he took huge offense to it.
Oh, I bet he did.
And they didn't fight.
Ah.
And and Mize, as he's known by his friends, Mize was thrilled. He was like, I don't want to fight that guy.
Anybody avoids a fight with Probert.
Oh, well, Probert had arms down to his ankles, right?
Yeah.
And he could, you know, if you grabbed his left, he'd hit you with the right. And if you grabbed his right, he's hitting you with the left. I mean, and he'd get naked on you. You know what I mean? You
couldn't. He's wild.
You just pull his gear right off of him. He was more than happy to fight you buck naked in the middle of the.
But there is a code.
Absolutely
a code.
Yeah, there's a code. And, you know, and there's a difference. Some guys fight mean and some guys do a job. You know, if you look at a guy like Brandon Press right now with the Canadians, you know, if you stand next to the guy, you'd be shocked that he's actually a fighter in the NHL because he's not that big, But he, too, has monkey arms down to his ankles, so he can create an incredible distance between him and the guys. Yeah. And as far as technically, he's an unbelievably technically good fighter. That's why he can fight a guy like Milan Lucic and not get hurt.
Right.
But he doesn't fight angry. He's a tactician.
You got to be smart, I guess.
He's very smart. Then you see other guys, you know, that throw, and they throw angry, and there's a big difference between the two. You know, the game's changing. I mean, you know, I think tonight, actually, Calgary's playing San Jose, so we may have the first true heavyweight fight of the year.
You think so, coming up tonight, maybe?
Well, we got John Scott, 6'9", with San Jose, and McIntyre.
Mac has been called up to play in Calgary.
I think he's a scratch right now, but you never know. That would be the first heavyweight fight of the
year. We might need him for
tonight. Please let McIntyre knock John Scott into next year, right? Yeah.
He does not like John
Scott. I don't like John Scott at all.
Yeah, he's a bully. Yeah.
He's a bully who can't even skate.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean can Sean can skate circles
Sean's
around.
Sean's a pretty good skater.
Yeah,
Sean, you a good skater?
No. No. You know, but we've been talking the last couple of weeks about how the role of a fighter has changed in the league now because everybody kind of wants a skating fourth line.
It's a liability today. You can't have a guy on your team that that gets beat on every play.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Fourth lines are defining the Eastern Conference.
Of course.
I mean, just this weekend, right? The Penguins don't have a fourth line. Yes, Craig Adams is still on it, so that means they don't have one. How Oscar Sundquist is playing in Sweden, banging broads in Sweden, and I got Craig Adams on my fourth. So, right? So the Islanders got Cizikas, Clutterbuck, and Matt Martin.
Yeah.
Great fourth line.
Good fourth line, man.
Own the got 4 points out of the Penguins just because of that line.
Clutterbuck.
The Penguins couldn't handle them. So then what happened? So then the Penguins go to Boston. Boston, remember, like all these couple years we've been saying, like, I love their depth. Now with Krejci hurt, they got no depth.
Well, they got a lot of people out.
They have no depth. So they only got three lines. So then against the Penguins, four games in three nights, they didn't play their fourth line. Killed him in the third period. Penguins owned Boston in the third. That's why they won. Without Chara in that lineup, you need Chara.
You look at, you know, when Chara comes back, that'll be the, you know, the biggest acquisition of the year, basically.
I'm going to put an asterisk. I mean, I told people that, you know, called and said, oh, you guys be bothered. It's an asterisk. Chara didn't play.
Right.
I understand. Right. But, well, I, you know, I mean.
Chara and Krejci. I mean, that's two.
Right. I mean, that's two huge guys. Yeah. Because Luch didn't have a center.
Yeah.
And
McQuaid is out. You know, McQuaid is out right now. Who else is out of that lineup?
I don't know. But
you know,
having Chara and
I mean, enough said.
Yeah,
I mean,
your number one center.
Right.
I mean, Bergeron's is a great center, but he's technically their number two center.
Right.
But they still haven't replaced Iginla. And you know, and I've said, I think every week, that Louis Erickson Sagan trade is the most ridiculous. Still one of the most ridiculous trades of all. I mean, Louis, I can appear on the score sheet as much as Louis Anderson. Louis Anderson
almost never
Louis Anderson.
Sits on the score
sheet. I don't think
sheet.
He ever scored that
No, he never
guy.
Did.
No. But
maybe
I mean,
once in Vegas.
He's terrible.
They had to, you know, the word on the street was they had to move Sagan for personal reasons. And
what
a player, though. He got a couple goals last night.
Well, the truth is he used to show up in the same clothes every day.
Right.
He's a partier.
Yeah.
He's 20 years old. He puts the puck in the net.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
he's leading the NHL.
Or at least get somebody more than Louis Erickson.
Right, right. They got some great young players in Boston, though. That Torrey Krug and...
I think Torrey
Krug's good, isn't he? Yeah.
I've always been against Torrey Krug, except for this week when he will be making maybe the goon of the week.
Torrey Krug.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
It's the captain's choice. But TNT.
I love our theme song.
Yeah, the goon of the week.
Goon of the week. All right, let's take a look at it.
It's good. First of all, you know, my man crush, my hero, got absolutely destroyed by Dalton Prout.
Yep.
I mean, and Luch, you can say whatever. I wasn't expecting it. It wasn't a cheap shot. You both dropped the gloves. He knocked you out. I mean, it wasn't a cheap shot.
Kind of a sucker punch.
I don't know. I mean, they both dropped the gloves.
Well, that's true.
They were talking. If you go back and watch, they were chirping at each other.
Yeah.
And I think you know, you know, you look at Lucic, and he's notorious for that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right.
He'll drop the one glove, right? Yeah. And he'll dangle the other mitt, and he'll grab you.
Yeah,
and
that's what I mean. I mean, Luch is not. I mean, you know.
Look, they're all trying to get an advantage,
right? Sure.
Let's put it that way. But that kid, he caught him on the button and put him down.
If you can knock Luch down,
yeah, he did. He dropped him. The other couple we got here is Matt Martin, and Wayne Simmons. Not a good fight. Just two guys I would love to see on the Penguins. So I like those guys.
Great players,
but not
great
a good
players.
Fight. Your guy Prousty from
Brandon Prust.
Prust versus Kevin Kline, not the actor, the fourth or fifth defenseman, who I thought fought a very good fight against Prust. I didn't know Kevin Kline was going to drop him, and if we get to this week because he's such a great guest, I'm very impressed with him on the Rangers. I did not know he would be that good of a defenseman.
Right,
he impressed me. Now this is the one I think is going to make people laugh who know me. Galchenyuk, a guy I love, who's not very big, ran over Kevin Miller at the blue line for Boston.
Right.
So I was going to give it to Galchenyuk for running over Miller, but then he gets ragdolled in a fight by the midget. The guy who I couldn't wait. I can't believe is so overrated, but Tori Krug ragdolled. We should get that song, Sean, from Aerosmith.
A little ragdoll.
He ragdolled him.
That's a new thing.
And that's Tori Krug is, you know, my daughter could ragdoll Tori Krug, but he ragdolled Galchenyuk. I mean, Therrien must have cried watching. I mean, so that those are the picks this week.
Those are your picks. Can I add a guy?
Yeah, you can add my own guy. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
The guy I saw last night on the NHL channel, Ryan Reeves.
Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, because what's the guy's name? Eric
Nystrom?
No, the guy for the Sens took a cheap shot at one of the guys on the Blues, and Ryan Reeves just clocked him.
Oh, that's what's his name? I know who you're talking about the guy. I know who you're talking about, the guy on the Ottawa. He has like a Y in his last name.
Yeah, Grybeck.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Like, but Reeves looked good in that fight.
Reeves a big boy. I mean, if your dad's Willard Reeves,
it's Willard's son, so yeah, you know, man.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's he's a 250
pounder. He impressed me, man. He impressed me.
You don't want to tangle with that guy.
He scored a great goal.
He sticks up for his guys.
Oh, yeah.
He scored a great goal on Sunday, too, Reeves.
That's the new tough guy in the league. You got to skate. You got to score.
Yeah.
You got to stick up for your teammates. You know?
That's how it is these days.
Absolutely.
And you got to be able to play. It's kind of like the Pro Bear model.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there was a handful of those guys that could do it. And, you know, after this year, I don't think you'll see much.
Gryba. Eric Gryba.
Eric Gryba. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a changing of the guard in terms of, the tough guy. The enforcer role in the NHL is just.
That guy.
You got to be able to skate a little.
That guy you wanted to. He has something to say here.
Love it.
There we go. Thank you. The great tap of the stick to the great Sean Merrick right there.
Sean.
Very nice.
Are you an assist?
Right on. I guess we'll let the guest pick since the captain has his own horse.
What are we picking?
Horse. Just who you think is the goon of the week of those choices?
Oh, the young boy in Columbus takes it definitely.
All right, there you go.
I think
knocking out Luch.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you got it. I guess.
You know what? Like Lucic, you know, he's a big, strong man, but he's got the. You can see from time to time in the playoffs last year in the handshaking ceremony. You know, you can see him return to like a juvenile 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, I thought that was classless.
And he's whiny, and he's a crybaby, and he thinks the whole world's against him, and they're not anymore. It's like, grow up, man. You're a man.
You're 100% right.
You're a tough guy now,
and you dish it out. So you know, look,
you're 100% right.
You know, I agree.
Although I would love to see him on Crosby's wing. You're 100% right.
Look, Detroit fans love seeing him get
there. There's not a team in the NHL that wouldn't kill to have Lucic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great player.
He's
great
gritty player.
He's everything you'd hope to have in a player.
Yeah. And I'll tell you who your guy totally, a guy who I've said every week, the Penguins should have got, Dale Weiss was got for a ham sandwich, and he basically stopped Lucic last year.
It's unbelievable.
He put him in his place, and that's what Detroit did not have,
right.
And what the Penguins don't have.
Right.
Dale Weiss, who it was a throwaway.
You know what his handle is? You know what they refer to?
What?
The Dutch Wayne Gretzky. Ah. It's a funny story. He during lockout year, he went over and he played in like Copenhagen or something, and he led the league in scoring. So his handle is the Dutch Gretzky.
Wow,
now,
I like it.
There's also the Portuguese Wayne Gretzky. And now, can you figure out who that is?
Who is that? Let's see. Portuguese Wayne Gretzky. You should know.
Well, I'm not up on the Portuguese league.
The Portuguese Wayne Gretzky, it's funny. He got that nickname when he was in Montreal, but it was Mike Ribeiro. Who's Portuguese? They call him the Portuguese Wayne Gretzky.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's tongue in cheek.
Who is playing well for Nashville? Another team
Nashville's
did not expect.
Looking great, aren't they?
Yeah, great.
You know, I watched them. I did a lot of watching this weekend of teams that I've bashed over the course of the last 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
And Nashville, you know, didn't really impress me. I mean, their defensemen impressed me. Obviously, you got to be impressed by Shea.
Yeah,
Weber,
I watched them that game last night against the Kings, and they looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they're a big physical team, but, you know, once again, like, this is a league of four, you know, it's four lines. It's a four-line league now, and it's 3-2 hockey, right?
Yeah,
there's
that's
not
what it
much
is.
Room in this
league. I love LaViolette, but how do you let James Neal get to the six hole in a shootout?
Wow.
And he came in and scored about 5 seconds. Well, he had a hot date. Like, what's taking this so long? Why? scored about 2 seconds. He took 2 steps
well,
and fired
it. In practice, you know, even morning skates and whatever those guys do, you know, they're always running, you know, they're always, the contest running is always the breakaway drills, right?
Right.
So you'll see guys that are fourth and fifth liners that, you know, literally score like half the season in practice. So at some point, the coach is just saying, I'm going with you because you just do insane stuff in practice.
That's where they see who can get it
done. Yeah, exactly. And there's, you know, there's a couple of random guys in the league that they're not first, second line guys, but, man, they can certainly, you know, score on the penalty
shot. They're good on that.
So, yeah.
Now, as an ex-goalie, what do you think the strategy is as a goalie? I guess everyone has a different style, of course.
Yeah.
But do you
That's changing a lot, though. I think they're all kind of playing the same style these days. I mean, there's a handful of anomalies in that, but it's become a systems position.
Now, do you wait for the guy to make the move
on the shootout?
Or do you force him to make a move?
I think, you know, and I can only speculate. I'm not an NHL goalie, but you know, a goalie is going to be stronger down low or up top. Uh-huh. And you know, my strategy was always I want him to shoot. I want to increase the odds that I know where he's shooting, because the reality is, from the hash marks and an NHL shooter, there's no time to really – you're going to have to guess beforehand.
Yeah,
that's the reality of it. The goalies are so good down low today. I mean, those guys – I mean, the butterfly position with the changing of the technology, the pads.
The butterfly, yeah.
Yeah, everything. And now they're 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", what, Bishop 6'7"? I mean, basically
– Bishop, he can't even fit in the net.
Yeah, I mean, their leg span is the whole net and then some, right?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, not only are the players getting better, but the goalies are just absolutely incredible athletes.
Goalies
today
seem better than ever.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I like to see a player come in. I like the angle. I like seeing the guys drag the puck out wide as opposed to coming straight on in.
Right.
Because the goalie has to start moving his legs then. And he's going to have to start shuffling. But what I love is the, you know, these guys can shoot so well in the composite sticks. I mean, if you've ever shot with one, it like doubles the speed of your shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the feint, get him to move, and five hole. I mean, it seems to be working great, you know, for the guys that
you
wait for that
moment.
You
can see that with a butterfly style, because that's the one area that...
I'm going to move you. I'm going to get you to have to open up for a second.
Yeah.
And these guys are such good shooters that, boom, it's in. I mean, obviously, forehand, backhand, roof. I mean, it's always been done. And these players today.
It seems like that move
works
less and less and less nowadays.
Goalies are bigger. They move better.
They're bigger. I mean, it almost.
Bigger and better.
Yeah. I mean, I like how the guys that have two or three moves.
Oh,
because by December, everyone scouted your number one move.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask. Do they have a scouting report on each shooter?
Absolutely. I mean, these guys
kind of know what
the
guys...
Yeah, I mean, the game is getting so tight. Like we were saying, you know, it's a 3-2 league now. You know, Daryl Sutter says that. He's like, look, this is a 3-2 league. You know, a lot of players are getting on their iPads right after the game every play that they played in on the ice, so they're watching their own tape. Right. And then, you know, look, they know who they're going to be playing against all year, and they're doing tape work on all the other players. You know, it's not 1985 anymore where it was like, let's have three beers and get on the plane and get to the next town.
I miss those days.
Yeah, you know, old-time hockey.
Less homework, right?
Less homework, but it's so competitive. These guys have to know. I mean, and you know the goalies are watching every highlight of every shootout.
Speaking of goaltending, tap of the stick, the Flower came up with number
– the Flower –
300 Monday night against Boston.
Yeah.
Kevin, 300. And well. I think I said the names wrong last week, but he's the third fastest to 300 age wise with Terry Sawchuk.
Wow.
And Martin Brodeur.
That's pretty good company.
That's the deep end of the pool. And then game wise, he's 300 to Andy Moog. And Jacques Plante.
Oh, wow.
Those guys played on some good teams.
You know, his the best part of his game is the breakaway.
Yeah. He does get a couple, you know, shootout wins that
absolutely
Jacques Plante didn't get.
Yeah, but, no, he's phenomenal on the breakaway. I mean, it's really his strongest area, I think.
Now, Eli, another question. For the goalie, do you come out?
Yeah, I mean,
on a breakaway and then go back in?
Just go back and watch hockey in the 90s and the 80s and watch the goalies. The ability to move around the ice with the changing of the pads and everything, these goalies are incredible skaters.
Gives them more flexibility.
Gives them way more flexibility, but they can cover 8-10 feet of space.
These are acrobatic athletes.
So you agree with the adage that your goaltender is your best skater?
Oh, I mean, maybe not your best, you know. Yes, they're
Letang.
Yeah, but their footwork is incredible, and so these guys absolutely—they're looking to cut down angle. Right. You'll see some goalies. You know, you look at Jonathan Quick here in L.A. He stays really deep in his net, but he's kind of plays like a Hasek type game where he's trying to take the bottom half of the net away. He's abnormally flexible,
right?
You know, which he himself says I don't recommend to young goalies doing what I do because you're gonna wreck your hips, you're gonna wreck your knees. But he tends to get, you know, down low and then kind of over the stick of the shooter, so they can't go high.
Right.
If you watch him do it over and over and over again, and that's a kind of a Hasek type tactic.
Right.
You know, it's a little, you know, there's the technical goalies, Carey Price, probably the technically best goalie in the world.
That's the captain's favorite.
Yeah, and I mean, and you watch him, and he's like calm as a Hindu cow out there, right? Like you're like a little passion, Carey, sometimes, but his technique is so good.
Yeah, he's good.
He looks good.
And he's 6'3", right?
Like looks
he's
like big. A real goalie.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just solid, you know, and his numbers bear out. I mean, he's pretty impressive.
He really is. Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't move very much. So you think, how are you going to score on this guy?
Yeah.
I just want to make one point when they asked Gina what he thought of the Flowers 300 wins, he goes, I don't know how he got it. I beat him every day in practice 10 times.
Is that right?
Like tongue in cheek. He was kidding around, but he goes, like, I don't know how I got 300 wins. I beat him every day in practice 10 times.
Well, he's played well, man.
Yeah, Gino's been playing well.
Gino that was his comment.
Yeah, that's what Gino's comment was. The Penguins, you know, whatever. The Islanders are the best team in the East, in my opinion.
Unbelievable hockey.
They look good, don't they?
Yeah, they're solid the whole way through. And now Vyznosky's back. I mean, he's very rarely healthy, but he's back now for that team. I mean, they have four lines that can all play.
Yeah.
And like I said, Boston doesn't have that.
Right.
The Rangers don't have that. Pittsburgh doesn't have that. Your team, Montreal, is the closest thing that probably has that.
Yeah, in the East, I would say.
Well, in the East. I know in the West is a whole other story.
I went and watched them play a couple weeks ago when they were in L.A., and what's impressive about the Isle is, they have four lines that run great. They have very little gaps in their game, so they move as a unit really well. They're all great skaters. Martin leads the league in hits.
Clutterbuck's like second.
Clutterbug is, he definitely catches the eye. I think there's some gaps in his game a little bit. But, you know, you look like captain like Tavares. I mean, that guy
guy's awesome, isn't he?
Solid all the way through. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better young captain in the league. He's my favorite young captain in the league.
He's one of my favorite players.
Great
in the league,
player,
period.
Great leader.
And a great guy. Yeah. I mean, he's just a humble guy that goes to the rink.
He has
every day,
that Lemieux air of royalty when he's when yeah. he's in
he
the circle.
He kind of does, doesn't yeah. he? Yeah.
Like, I got the puck. We're going to score. I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to break a sweat doing it.
His confidence and his leadership is kind of quiet, which is kind of nice, you know?
Yeah.
But when you watched him play in the Olympics last year for Canada, I mean, he was a standout there. I mean,
yeah, he looked good in the Olympics.
I mean, he was fantastic. So,
I mean, that was a I mean, that's why I'm against the Olympics. He got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see. I mean, that was the whole.
That's right. He was out.
Yeah. It was just, it was pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'd rather see him play in the island.
Sure.
I'd rather watch him on MSG3 than watch him at 5 a.m. against Yugoslavia.
Aren't they moving next year?
They're moving to Brooklyn. Yeah. He's going to be a huge star.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah. Brooklyn will up the profile.
Yeah. And the other star in New York, and Nash, is making me look.
He's making you look bad.
Horrible. His goal the other night, his backhand on the breakaway was
unbelievable.
Just, that was like Sega PlayStation.
I have to make a correction, though. Last week I said that Nyquist was the best player. And he is pretty good. But I saw some clips on St. Louis. I couldn't believe how good he is.
St. Louis is an incredible athlete.
Yeah, I mean, for being an older guy now.
Well, he's not a great player. He's got to be a great player, right?
Yeah. He is a great.
And it's a great story. You know, he's a great story. He's a guy that, you know, one of these undersized guys that, you know, didn't get a look and couldn't get a sniff at the NHL and was destroying the AHL.
Yeah.
And finally, somebody said, "We gotta
bring.
We gotta get. You can't leave this guy in the minors. Like, he's just too good. But you know, when you're 5'5", you know, they what do they say? He's 5'7". He's not 5'7".
Is that what he is? He's 5'5".
I mean, he's tiny,
gosh.
But you watch the workouts that guy puts in the off season. I mean, you watch him drag a sled and push a sled. He pushes a sled like a 250-pound man would push a sled.
But he doesn't
I've never seen
play
anyone with
small.
A quicker shot.
No,
he's got quick
and on target though.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
just, you know, one of these guys that takes a shot and it goes behind the net and goes down the other end. You know? I mean,
yeah, he's pretty special.
He's a he's a powerhouse. He's,
now he doesn't play small though.
No, he's Mighty Mouse, man. He's strong.
But even,
as an
but
ox.
You know what I mean. But he doesn't. Yeah. But even like I'm obviously he doesn't have the length to keep the puck away from people. Other guys, but people don't get the puck off of him.
No, guys, he's so compact, you know, you can't – a guy like that can take a pounding because his body is built in a way that, you know, he doesn't have long limbs that stick out, right? He doesn't get the same knee injuries.
He's got nothing
stuff.
To really hurt.
No, he's just a bowling ball.
Now, will he get a good reception today when he goes back for the
That's
first time to play in Tampa
They're
gonna
Bay? They're saying it might be like a Jágr thing where he's – not welcome, which I think is – but you know how much I hate that with Jágr. I mean, it's like – it makes me cry.
Right.
What do you think will happen?
I think they're going
to – They got to give him some
I think
props.
I think they're going to cheer him.
I think the real fans, you know, I mean, you got your Fairweather fans that want to go there, drink beer, and be jerks. You know, I think they'll do that. But I think the overarching will be
– Tampa knows it's
people,
hockey.
People will give
they
them
do.
Some credit.
Yeah, they're a good market. They know their hockey. I think they're going to cheer him.
Hockey fans are pretty classy. In general.
Yeah.
And I think they will, too.
Absolutely.
He gave him a lot of great years.
He won him a cup.
He won him a cup. That should be trump for anything.
Yeah.
Other than running your grandmother over in a DUI, I mean, you should be able to cheer anyone that wins you a cup. I mean, he won you a cup. No, but still, this was back to St. Louis, though. You know, you see Lemieux.
Sure.
You see Jágr. You see Tavares. You know why you can't get the puck. These guys got reach.
Right.
I mean... no one gets a puck off of St. Louis.
And he's crafty.
He's crap.
You know, if you look at another player, and he's not nearly as accomplished, but you know, a similar body and a similar type of tenacity is like David Desharnais on the Canadiens. You know, he's 5'5", and he's one of those guys that couldn't make a team. And you know, when you're that size,
I love Desharnais because I watch a lot of the Canadiens,
yeah.
But he gets moved around. I mean, he gets moved around sometimes. He's not – I mean
– he's not the all-star that St. Louis is.
Okay.
But I'm just saying another small guy that when he does have the puck is pretty dominant. I think as you're growing up, if you're that size, you just get accustomed to playing against players way bigger than you are. And you learn how to
– To take a hit, to move at the right time.
Yeah, just to move around the ice in a way that you're not going to get hit. I mean – look, you know, Wayne Gretzky, when
he was
drafted.
Well, you're friends with the great one, and you know, and he was the best at that.
And he was 145 pounds when he was drafted.
He was the best at that. I know. He could.
But Galchenyuk doesn't have Reeves and McIntyre standing next to him either, right?
Well, he doesn't have his bodyguards like Wayne, but Wayne could really handle a hit because he could move at the last second.
Oh, yeah.
He just got out of the way at the right time.
I think more people got out of the way of Wayne. Like, we actually didn't want to hit him. Yeah,
they don't want to
Mr. Semenko.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wanted to tangle with. It's funny. I saw Semenko in Edmonton last month, and you know, he's an older guy now, but oh my God, he's still terrifying.
Looks like a house.
Oh, you stand next to him, and you're just like, I don't know how you tangle with that guy. I mean, he's just a. He is just formidable.
I was at the bar with him after the game because my buddy played for the Oilers, and we all went to the bar. And he's a great guy. But I thought, how do they even find a sport coat that fits him?
You know. Now there's a guy that fought angry.
Well, he was just scary in general.
Oh yeah, who wants to be that tailor? Stick him with a pin.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He looked like a huge potato.
Oh man,
he's a giant guy.
And what a role he did. I mean, you know, he. You know, he set the tone for Wayne. You know,
he did.
That whole team, you know, you
allowed
back,
Wayne to do his thing.
Oh yeah, and that whole team did. You know, they stood up for him. So
I have a so let's talk a little Canadian. So I mean, they were basically you know I mean, Kreider ran the goalie, or you'd have been in the finals.
Right.
They're probably just as good, if not better. I love they got Gonchar.
Yeah,
I
think Gonchar is good, right?
I love the Sarge. He can still move the puck. He's a presence.
Yeah,
I love Gonchar.
He's an all-star.
Yeah,
I mean, he's older, but he's an all-star.
Yeah, you know? he's leadership. Classy. Leadership.
We'll just see.
And now you got Byron Allen.
Yeah.
Who's a big boy? Yeah. You know, good guy to have on the bench if not playing. You know.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he cracked the lineup instantly.
Oh, yeah. He played the other night. He didn't look great, but I think, you know.
Well, that's a fast team. He might be better against dragging down Lucic in game six.
Yeah.
No. You know, no, you know what I mean? Maybe not. But, you know, what do you think? I mean, do you think they're going to still – you think they're still –
make
like,
a run? You think they'll make a run? I think they'll make a run. I mean, they're obviously leading the league right now in points.
And Subban's laying in the weeds this year.
They're leading the league.
Yeah. Subban's laying – he isn't – I've been Subban this year.
Yeah, but they're trying some different things. I think, you know, look, I think our power play is the worst in the league right now. And, you know, the blindingly obvious problem with that is that they're lining up our defensemen opposite stick, right? So when Subban's over there, his stick is on the outside wall. You need to slide that puck into his wheelhouse and let him crank it.
Wait, is Dan Bylsma coaching that team now? Yeah. Dan never knew how to line up a power play.
So, they're starting Markov and Gonchar back there on the first set of the power play.
I love Gonch.
I love Gonch.
But how does he, I mean, and I love Therrien. But how is Subban not on the top?
Well, Subban is an awesome.
How is
player,
he on the top power play?
He's
Subban
awesome.
Basically carried you. I mean, to the playoffs.
He'll catch fire this year.
Once they figure out that power play, we become kind of unbeatable.
Oh yeah,
pretty close.
And you know he'll kick into gear.
Yeah, I think they just once they figure out just structurally on the power play what they're doing a little bit more. They're still trying to solve that thing, but I they're doing this weird thing where they're putting, you know, offhanded defensemen on the opposite
side. Yeah, that never really makes sense,
and
does it?
And it doesn't – I don't know the rationale behind it. It doesn't seem to make
just
a whole lot of sense.
Just even keeping the puck in.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I think the East is the Canadians and the Rangers because I don't trust Halak for 4-7 game series. I like Halak better than what they had, and I think he's doing great for them.
Yeah.
But Halak versus Carey Price, Halak versus Lundqvist, Halak versus Tuukka, Halak versus Flower for and I think the Rangers. I mean, look, Kreider's starting to come into his body a little bit. Kreider's been playing good.
Sure.
I mean, and they're gonna get stepping up. I mean, their defense. I'm telling you, Klein looks good. And McDonough's just coming back now. They weathered that storm without McDonough.
Yeah.
I did not think they could weather that storm.
Great player.
Yeah.
Great player. And don't sleep on Tampa Bay, I'm telling you.
Tampa Bay is good.
Yeah. They got a great goalie.
I have to because I can't fall apart with every prediction I made in the spring.
Right?
Hey, I already turned around. I watched like three Winnipeg games, and I tell you what. They're in the wrong. If they were in any other, maybe they're in the wrong conference.
Right,
man. They're still having. They should have stayed
in Atlanta.
Yeah,
stayed in Atlanta. They'd be in. You know,
this East West thing. I mean, you know, the reality is the West is just so big, so fast.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at the parity in this league today. You know, you know, even on the East now, you know, if you really had to pick a team, I mean, you got to say Montreal, you got to say, you know, Pittsburgh, you got to say Tampa, you got to say the Rangers, all these teams. But, you know, look, it's just tighter and tighter all the time. And then, but when you really start watching San Jose and the Kings, they're a size bigger.
Yeah, they're bigger. Yeah.
You know, I don't
know. San Jose is ready for the fire sale, and I hope Jim Rutherford has his catalog open.
Yeah.
Think about it. They lost to Buffalo.
Right.
They lost to Florida, and they lost to Arizona in like about a week and a half span.
Right.
You don't lose those three games when you're in the West. Because Vancouver's not going away.
You can't.
Vancouver's playing pretty well.
Vancouver's playing. Talk about the fourth line. Yeah. That kid Hansen got a hat trick two nights ago.
Yeah, they're playing well.
And I never thought the Sundins and Verbato would be the Triple Crown line.
Well, I think
but they are.
Yeah.
Those Sedin brothers. I mean, say what you want about them. I mean, you know, what's the name of what do they call them? The Sedin sisters.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
two girls, no cups.
But those guys, you know, those guys have been 1 and 2 in the league for a long time. You know, they're
pretty talented. Players.
I'm not one to rip on them, but I did not think that you add Maxime Verbata and they would be fighting for top spot in the West.
Well, they create so much space out there. I mean, those two are like, you know, they've got some kind of telepathic thing with each other. And you put a guy like Verbata who can score in the middle of that and plays a similar style of movement out on the ice, I mean, there's just going to be space, you know?
Yeah,
And they're
doing it, though.
I like the way Vancouver's playing.
Yeah, they really are playing
well. Now, what about the Ducks? On the other end of that Byron Allen trade, they got Bork. Does he have anything left?
I mean, look, that's Bork's played for a ton of teams, right? I mean, there's a reason why GMs keep picking him up because they look at him, they go, God, he's big. He can skate when he wants to. He's got a great shot. And then he shows up and it's just like nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and no one underachieves more than when you stick him under the tutelage of Bruce Boudreau. So if he didn't play for Therrien, he's not going to play for Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I like the Ducks the way they're playing. I like Corey Perry.
Oh. Corey Perry's a great player.
Unbelievable.
I mean, look, here's the reality. Even if the coach doesn't do anything there and Bork gets in that room and he gets into the lineup, you got to answer to Getzy and you got to answer to Perry. And those are two big sons of bitches who don't like losing.
No.
Yeah.
Getzlaff is a man.
He's awesome, man.
With this show. Love Getzlaff and Perry. And I'll tell you, the kid,
he's got to shave that bucket, though.
When Smith Pelly plays on that line, that's a sick line. But Smith Pelly, he's good. I like Smith Pelly. Smith Pelly, please come to Pittsburgh. What does Anaheim need? Smith Pelly would be perfect in Pittsburgh.
He'd be great there.
He'd be perfect in Pittsburgh. Yeah. But the Sharks, literally, I mean, the time is it's over now because I thought Vancouver, BX is playing great again. Elder found the fountain of youth.
When they took Thornton's captain away from him, that's when they started going down, man.
You got to love Thornton. I don't know what went down there, but something went down. It was an odd.
That's your best
player. You take his captain.
And you get rid of Boyle. I don't know.
Playing games with Burns. Burns is now looking to win a Norris trophy.
Right. he's one of my favorite players in the league. I mean, he's like a Lucic. Everybody would kill to have Burns.
I know. Are you kidding me?
I love
Brett Burns.
Unbelievable.
It's like the one guy that they'll probably trade now. Knowing them, I think Marlowe, any one of those guys that's going to get run out of town in San Jose, the door is open at the Console Energy Center. it's coming because
they're
going to be out of it because look at Calgary now.
Yeah,
Calgary's looking great.
Brody and Giordano.
Brody had a nice goal last night.
He did, and Giordano might win the Norris.
Let me tell you something. Top 10 in scoring in the league right now. He's got 23 points.
And Johansson, that kid plays every top center in the West. He's like 15.
Yeah,
they are.
They're
coming.
Johnny Gaudreau. Have you seen
Johnny Hockey?
Yeah.
Gaudreau's awesome.
He's like 150 pounds.
Johansson's awesome.
Yeah. Monahan's playing great. I mean, they're playing, and their whole team, they got a great coach up there. He's a mean guy.
Hartley, he is.
And he plays a tough style of hockey. That's why they got Mac on that team. You know, they went out and got Englund, who I loved in Pittsburgh. I think he's just – he's a great
– Engo? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you can slot him in at the low end of the lineup.
He was a good fourth line. When Blas would put him on the fourth line, yeah. He's better than Craig Adams.
Yeah, and he's tough. He's a deterrent.
Oh, he's tough.
Physical enough to do it, you know.
He's tough. So he very rarely loses. He doesn't lose fights.
Right.
Like, he might – it might be a standstill.
But he can hold his own.
Yeah, and he'll go with anybody.
Well, you watched them play Anaheim the other night, and you know there was a couple of altercations out there, and you saw Anaheim go, I don't think I really want to do this with, you know, we got Weidman out there, and you know, Glenn Cross and Englund. It's like these guys are big.
They're big.
They're big and they're tough and they're not afraid. You know,
no, Ingo's
that
not
team. That team, they love playing with each other. That's what's happening there right now. They're starting to believe. They got some young talent. They got a Mark Giordano is you want to hear an amazing story. That guy was undrafted. He was playing Canadian University hockey, and you know it's a dream story that he's the captain of this team. He's probably going to win the Norris this year if he keeps any kind of you know scoring going like he is. I mean, he could trail off half of what he's doing right now and still win the Norris. I mean, it's an unbelievable story. He's a great captain. He's the fittest guy on the ice. And they love playing together. They're starting to believe. I mean, that team, that's my sleeper team.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that – here's the thing. Are they ready to win the Cup this year? Probably not. No, they're probably not going to get the goaltending. They're probably not deep enough. But I'll tell you, they'll knock somebody out of the playoffs.
Huh.
I could see them knocking off of San Jose. I could see them knocking off the Kings.
I don't think San Jose is going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Because the Ducks and the Kings aren't going away.
Right.
So then you got at least one, maybe two spots left.
Yep.
Between San Jose, Vancouver, and Calgary.
Yeah.
Vancouver's not going away.
Yeah.
I don't think Vancouver's going away.
Nobody wants to play Calgary. That's all I got to say.
I'm picking Calgary to take a wild card ahead to San Jose. Mm-hmm.
Now, I was watching the analysts on the NHL channel last night, and they were saying, you guys probably know this, but they were basically saying, Kings just want to make the playoffs.
Yep.
That's just their goal.
Yep.
They don't care if they don't need to come in first.
They won it when they came in eighth.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they've already.
So they just want to kind of coast in, right, and then do enough to get in. And then start their new season.
Did you see that beauty pass, that loop that they hit our Norris Trophy guy with?
Doughty.
Did you see
Doughty that? Made the greatest play of all.
Yeah,
did you see
that pass he took?
Come on, that was a Bobby Orr play.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
That's what I meant. But did you see the – he made the end-to-end, but McNabb caught that Hail Mary pass. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I got it confused because the end
– He's doing well, McNabb. I like his game. I think he's –
The first couple games I was not impressed. I thought they need to make a trade.
Right.
And now I'm like, yeah, McNabb can play.
He's doing
but the
it,
end-to-end rush was – that was Paul
that
Coffey.
Was that was like Coffey. Yeah, that was like Coffey.
He beat everybody. He beat everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Doughty's my. I think he's my number one pick for best defenseman.
He's
in the
best.
Yeah, and I mean, he just.
Yeah, when you were saying Norris Trophy, I'm like, well, if he cuts it in half, then he's with Dort, then he's with Doughty.
Doughty's special.
I don't know. Gio's got 23 points. Let's just say he finishes with 60 points, right? Uh-huh. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing up there. I think given his story. The fact that he is such an underdog, he wasn't even drafted. He didn't get a draft.
That's a cool story. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he's the captain of a team. He's going to get paid $9 million a year probably, five-year, $45 million deal coming up. I mean, the league loves a story like that.
I think that's a great story.
You know,
and I don't think Calgary is absolutely where no one will go as a free agent.
Sure, not now.
Well, not now.
No, but I mean, it's a nice town.
It's a great town.
I like that town. It's a
cow town, as they call it.
But they have great steaks. They have great steaks. It's a good city. I mean,
it's in Edmonton and Calgary.
There you go.
It's the Dallas of the North. I mean, that's what
it felt like. Dallas.
Yeah.
I've always had fun in Calgary.
A lot of money.
If you've ever gone to the Calgary Stampede in the summer. I mean, that's probably one of the best parties on earth. Yeah. I mean, that thing's unbelievable.
Oh, I gotta make that thing.
And if you get to see, the thing is if you get to go play hockey in a Canadian market and you've never played there, I mean, you become a celebrity.
You're treated like a king.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings walk around in Manhattan Beach and a few people know who they are. Anaheim, nobody knows who they are down there, right?
Right.
There's, you know, you play in Florida, it's great weather, but there's no intensity. You play in Montreal, Toronto. You know, you play in Calgary or Edmonton, you're a megastar.
You're a star.
But I still say, though, if you have a choice between living in Winnipeg or living in just about anywhere else.
Florida, you're gonna take Miami.
But Calgary's different. I think Calgary's different. I think Calgary, you would go to Calgary.
You can get
you can get people to go to Calgary.
Absolutely, the food's good.
A little better food.
Yeah,
more party. Opportunity. It's a good place.
It's got a little more lifestyle.
It's a nicer city.
Absolutely,
it's a city. It's not like, oh my God, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean,
it's 45 below zero. What the hell am I gonna do?
That's Winnipeg.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but I love those Jets, man.
I watched them.
They fought like hell against the Blues. Played a great game. They just needed one. They need one more score.
They're missing just a few pieces, but they got some great players. They got good energy. Great fans.
Yeah, are the fans good up there?
Oh, I mean, look, when Winnipeg decided, you know, they were going to get a team back, and they did the new Coliseum up there. I mean, that thing sold out in like 5 minutes. Wow. You know.
I love it.
It's like play when they play a big game like they did against the Blues or against the Penguins.
Oh yeah,
it's like a playoff game.
Unbelievable!
It's loud. November.
Yeah, it's great.
People go nuts. And the intensity was amazing. Speaking of Edmonton, though, they're trying to sell everybody off. And your favorite, the Professor.
I love the Prof.
Coach Killer.
Yeah, the coach is gone, man. You can't blame the coach. You can't blame Scribbs. You got to blame the coach.
Well, they blame the goalie. I mean, is that really the first head to go in Edmonton is the goalie coach?
Well, he was messing up the Professor. Come on, man. We had to get rid of him.
It's tough. You know, I think McTavish is in a, you know, between a rock and a
hard. I think McTavish should be the coach. One.
He was the coach.
And then he moved upstairs, and the guy they got now, no one listens to him.
I just think they need to make some changes, and they've drafted terribly.
We said a couple weeks ago, though, a fan emailed in or texted in, like, what's wrong with Edmonton? And I said, they never went out and got a defenseman to lead the way on that team.
Sure.
Like Calgary has right now.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if Edmonton has a Giordano or some halfway decent compared to
what would you do if you were the GM at Edmonton?
I would trade three of those guys and get two defensemen back and an old Wiley veteran to play second line center and teach all those guys how to back check.
I'd get rid of a bunch of stuff.
Perron,
I think he just got moved, didn't he?
They're talking about it today.
They have some talented young players to deal off.
They do. I mean, they've got a great stock of individual players, but, you know,
they don't play as a team.
So you could deal a couple of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you keep Nugent Hopkins.
You got to keep the Nuge. He's their best player.
I think he's a hockey player. Taylor Hall's a great hockey player.
Yeah,
right.
I'm getting rid of Eberle.
Yeah,
I think he's got great hand skills, but on that team, I just don't think.
Get rid of Nail.
Yakupov, you take care of. You know, look, they thought Schultz was going to come in and be the man there as their defenseman. It hasn't really happened. And you look at Scrivens and great guy. You know, he's got a lot of potential, but he's not a guy that's played 300 games in the NHL or 500 games. You know what I mean? They may need a veteran goalie. I'm getting rid of the coach. I hate his body language. I don't really question his hockey sense per se, but in terms of, I feel like he's lost that room.
He has 100% lost that room. Yeah. I mean, that team needs a Tarian. They need a guy to come in there that's used to working with young kids, Babcock is kind of a, because quite frankly, I thought Tarian was going to wear out his welcome.
I'm bringing Bielsma in.
Going to wear out his welcome.
That's who I'm bringing.
I thought Tarian was going to wear out his welcome last year. He still had, I think he's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
You need a drill sergeant in there to make these guys play. They have enough talent to score three goals.
Sure.
They have to get back. They got to play defense. They got to clear the puck.
They're a train wreck on the back end.
That's what I mean. So they, you know, I mean, somewhere Nugent Hopkins and Taylor are going to score a goal.
Right.
Get back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's way too much talent
they gotta
on that team.
They got to shake it up. I think, you know, if you brought in a guy like Bielsma as a coach, he's used to, you know, coaching stars. He knows how to coach those guys.
I don't think he coached them at all. I think that's the problem.
Well,
you see, I mean, our guy now comes in there, boom. Sid, you're playing here. Junior, you're playing here. What? Now the power play's clicking at 35%.
Yeah, quickly he got it together.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
but that's
Dan
just the
never
nature
had a bad
it,
word
think.
To say anything
no,
to anybody.
I mean, I think a coach runs his course, and I think, you know, when he was there and Crosby was young and Malkin was young, you know, he had their attention and he got them to a point where those guys really could police themselves, right? They were policing that room really well.
Yeah.
And I think what happened was he wasn't able to get the room back, and it was time for a change. And the new coaches
never doubt the cancer that is James Neal.
Right,
the clubhouse cancer.
They missed
James
Jordan Stahl. Let's keep it real.
They missed Gonchar.
Yeah,
and Paul Martin had a terrible year. A terrible first year when he came in.
Yeah,
and
I think every team that has those, you know, generational players on it. You know, you look at, you know, Edmonton with Taylor Hall and Nuge and Yakupov. I mean, they got more number ones than anybody, right?
Yeah.
And you look at, you know, a team like the Penguins that's got, you know, Malkin and Letang and Fleury was the number one and Crosby, obviously. You know, I think it's really easy to lose the structure of the game when there's so much talent on the ice, because you don't want to keep those guys in the stable. You want them to go. But, you know, so it's a fine line for a coach to kind of put in systems that keep those guys tight, and also recognizing that, you know, let's let this talent fly. You know,
without being too technical, though, you know, I mean, Blazma's system was long stretch passes, right, where his forwards are standing still at the blue,
right,
lines.
Right.
How is that capitalizing on Malkin and Crosby's speed? Where Johnson's is,
right,
we all come up as a unit, and then Gino swings back and gets momentum, and that's how we get the puck in.
I think he's learned it by watching the West. You know, you look at the Kings and you watch their breakouts. I mean, their defense, you know, I get real technical, but their forwards are coming way low. The swing is really low. There's always two outlets.
It's a fast break in.
And they're maintaining puck possession all the way
over.
That's
why you have to love Kopitar's game, because he comes all the way back. Constantly,
yeah, he gets back.
I mean, that's a lead. That's a leader. I mean, you know, I mean, that, like, the Kings will never get rid of him. But that's like someone like that needs to go to Edmonton.
If he wasn't from Slovenia, he would have been a number one draft pick. Let's keep it real. Yeah. He would have gone number one overall.
If he was playing in New York, he'd be on. He'd be the he'd be the most famous player in hockey.
And he looks like Frankenberry. If
that's got to work for you too,
right?
You know, he has a weird name. You know,
he's great,
Anjay.
You know, I
called him Anze in an interview. He looked at me. It's how nice hockey players are, because it's Anze. And the whole thing was, I literally just got starstruck. It was like when I saw Hulk Hogan. I just got starstruck. I love Kopitar so much. And they're like, their Kings were coming out. Like, who do you want to interview? And I'm like, oh, Kopitar. And and Dusty. And they go, here's Kopitar. And I'm like,
he's a big guy when you stand next to him. He's big guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing with the Kings. I mean, we slurp them all the time here. But they got like 15 winners. They got like 15 legitimate leaders that are just winning. You can't
Kings
have
still
enough
loaded.
Winning.
Kings are still loaded.
Kings are loaded. They got top to bottom, their management solid. You know, you got Lombardi up there picking. I mean, he's just a great developer of young players. I mean, you look at a guy like Martinez, he couldn't crack the lineup last year.
That was so cool to bring him in, man.
Right? Like, they developed their players properly, much like Detroit does.
Yeah. The 70s line. Yeah. Look at those kids.
I mean, those kids are great.
Toffoli, I mean, that
Toffoli's awesome.
Toffoli is
Pearson's
good.
Awesome.
Well, he led the OHL, the Ontario Hockey League, 2 years in a row in scoring. So they knew what they had.
Yeah.
They
knew he could score.
He plays big too, though. He throws his body around. Yeah. I mean,
and Gabrick's back and he's playing well.
Oh, that was Gabrick. Gabrick caught the hell.
Yeah.
Gabrick caught the Hail Mary. That was
Yeah, Gabrick.
Yeah,
he's a greyhound, man. He's a greyhound.
I love him, man.
His top speed is
two steps. He was gone. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. I watched so much hockey this weekend.
He's quick.
And the end was Doughty.
Yeah, Doughty was great.
Before we forget, since I'm still on top of the leaderboard in the fantasy league.
All right, here we go. Dear Mr. Fantasy, how are we doing?
I am after kind of not moving too many pieces around. Thank you, Mr. Sean. Still in first place.
Are you?
But area,
watch out for Area 51.
Area 51 is moving in.
Yeah.
Moving in.
They've got those Martians on the team. You can't beat them.
Hey, my staggering lead 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago is now it's the Hounds are closing in.
Yeah,
Hounds are they're closing.
You're holding on to first place.
Amazingly holding on to first place. So I'm real proud about that.
No, I have a story from Ian Bagg. Ian Bagg tells me, he's this comedian guy that we talked about earlier from Vancouver who played some minor league hockey. And he and his wife were on vacation in Vegas last year, and they're watching the finals, Kings Rangers. And there's some guy sitting behind him, and they were getting a little bugged at him because he knew almost too much. about the game. He kept going on and on about this and that, and how come they didn't do this and that. And then Ian starts thinking, well, he's pretty smart. He seems to really know. It was Quinville.
Oh,
Joel,
wow.
Quinville.
Yeah, sitting behind him.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes, no wonder you knew so much about what was happening.
Well, did he have the beard?
I don't know. They didn't recognize him. He didn't recognize him.
I mean, the mustache?
I know. He said he didn't recognize him.
Wow.
Until he talked to him.
Quinville's pretty recognizable.
I don't know. Bag said he didn't know until he talked to him.
We should mention passing of the great
Pat Quinn.
The great Pat Quinn.
Yeah.
Did Pat ever coach you?
No. God, the Irish policeman? No. Pat Quinn never coached me.
He did a lot of like the junior he went stuff. Back and won a bunch of gold medals in the juniors and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I never played up to that level. I never played Team Canada. He was a great – I mean, he's the guy that – I mean
– he brought hockey to Vancouver,
a legend,
basically.
A legend,
and he took out Gordie – Bobby Orr. He took out Bobby Orr. I mean, he's a tough, tough guy.
Yeah,
great
tough
coach.
Guy. Great coach, wasn't he? And a GM and –
Great everything.
Hockey. Just a great guy.
He gave Toronto their only winning couple years in the last 40 years.
Did a lot for hockey. And you know what's interesting? The obituaries from 2 days ago in the LA Times, it was interesting to see two big hockey legends. One was Pat.
Yeah.
And the other one was Victor Tinkinen, the Soviet coach. During all those summit years, they both passed on the same day.
Wow. I did not know that.
But at least they were both in the same obituary from the same day. I don't
Tikhanov.
Know.
Tikhanov. Yeah, it's funny because what Tikhanov was probably what, like 4,002?
Yeah,
but
right.
Everyone remembers the two games he lost.
Sure. We sure remember those.
They only got a Pultrechiak.
Those eyebrows. You remember those eyebrows?
Yeah. He was Spock.
Yeah, he was like the evil empire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were something else. You
but
go
great,
back and watch
great
that
teams,
stuff.
Right?
Oh, I have the. I've got the box collection of the 86 Canada Cup, and want to watch great hockey.
Oh, awesome my God.
Stuff. And, I mean, the holding in that hockey back then, I mean, the stick work, it looks like a whole other game. Go
that's
back and
hilarious.
Watch some. It's unbelievable. And then that's the first time that Mario and Wayne got together.
Right. That's what
that's so awesome.
So you watch those two play together, and, you know, you see Wayne kind of nurturing this young phenom, you know, and you could just see how much fun those two had playing together. I mean, have you ever seen anything like that?
That's pretty special. That's awesome.
And Mario, you know, attributes learning how to prepare for a big game. He learned from Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched the Gretzky. They have a thing on from ESPN, one of those 30-30 things.
Oh,
on the great
the trade.
One.
On the trade.
Just on the whole thing. They started out when he started out playing for Indianapolis.
Yeah.
He was, I think he was 15 or something.
16, I
16,
think. And then
yeah.
17, and they got turned into the WHA, turned into the NHL. Yeah.
Right, and it had the whole deal of him coming up and how he was working out with his dad at the backyard pond and how he would never come off the ice and... He was always preparing, always learning and trying new stuff, even though he was the best.
Yeah, well, I think he talks about it a lot. You know, when they interview him about youth hockey in Canada and in the world, you know, he's always like, look, let the kids have some fun. You know, you're overcoaching these kids. He says, my dad didn't have to make me get on the ice. I wanted to be on the
ice. He wanted to be out there. He loved it.
Yeah, he loved it. And it was his thing since he was two, and he just so happened to have some abnormal talent.
Super that is, skills from God, from above.
I mean, it's funny. I was in Edmonton for the 30th anniversary of the 84 first Stanley Cup winning team there. And I was actually there with Wayne and Janet and the kids.
What was Eli's it? Wayne's is Mrs. Gretzky's personal stylist.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
I've met Janet. She's
it doesn't
awesome.
Get better
she's
than
awesome.
That, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't get better than that.
They're a great family. They're a phenomenal. I just love them.
And he's a really nice person.
Yeah, and he's a great guy.
Oh, please tell this. Please, we'll end on that. Please tell the story about the on the plane.
I mean, there were so many.
The records one. I'm tongue tied.
Oh yeah, he. You know, we're goofing off. And, you know, what's great about that family, you know, is that they're a family, you know, and they're really close. And you get to see what, like, you know, they're really like a small town Canadian family. He just so happens to be the best hockey player to have ever lived. So, you know, he's laughing and we're carrying on, and he's a, you know, he's a, he likes to joke around, and he says to one of his kids, Ty or Trevor, one of them, he says, you know, how many, hey Trevor, how many records do I have? And he's like, I don't know, 61, I think it's 61. He goes, no, I have 62. He says, I have 62. He says, you know why? He says, why? He goes, because 61's a record, which makes it 62. You know, it's funny. He's incredible. He's got a mind like a trapdoor. He remembers every game, every
goal.
Does
he really?
He not only remembers his statistics, but he remembers your statistics.
See, that's weird. I just had Pete Rose on my radio show not too long ago. And he's the same way.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know his stats. He knows everybody else's stats.
Yeah. Well, Pete's gambling on him.
Well, sure. You've got to have those stats.
What was incredible to me when I was up there, you know, it was like the biggest, you know, week in Edmonton in the last 30 years to have all the old Oilers back there. And, you know, just listening to people share their stories about Wayne, to Wayne, about like when he was a kid and stuff. It was just incredible to hear and see the magic of it all, because it was larger than life. You know, you get off the plane and we're driving down Wayne Gretzky Boulevard. I mean, the highway's named after him, right? And you just, I've never seen fame like that, and I've never seen a guy take it so seriously and be so kind and humble to everybody. I mean,
he wears it well, doesn't he?
He'll sign autographs until his hands fall off.
They'd be like Stalingrad. They're going to call with Gretzky tin.
It was,
you know, like
that. Yeah.
Well, I always talk about my buddy Pat Hughes.
And yeah.
Pat, you remember, do you know Pat?
Yeah, he played on that team.
Yeah, he did.
Him and Wayne are real close.
They're real good buddies. Yeah. And Pat's my buddy. And Pat won 4 rings.
Yeah.
He was a fourth line. Hughesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on,
man.
Yeah, Hughesy's my pal. And he was kind of in charge of making sure Wayne got to the rink okay.
Exactly.
And he was kind of his driver and fourth line player and a tough role player little guy, you know, and scrappy.
Yeah.
You know.
Great team guy.
He really was. And Hughesy's thing was he just loved, you know, hanging with Wayne. So we would hang out afterwards.
That's
so
cool.
Because I go to see Hughesy.
Yeah.
You know, and then, so then we go out to somewhere, you know, with Wayne. And I'd be with Wayne and Hughesy.
Yeah.
And it was just unbelievable.
That's unbelievable that you were with those guys, because that's all he talked about the whole week was him and Hughesy rolling around in Edmonton having a great time.
Yeah. Hughesy's a super kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about it was, though, Wayne was just, it was like being with your buddies from high school.
Right.
The two of them didn't have any air of anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, wow, Gretzky. Just like a regular dude.
Yeah. Well, that's a great thing about hockey players. I always tell people.
A lot of them are.
They're from small town Canada or small town U.S. or wherever. They're from a small town.
Small town in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, you know.
Look at Yags.
Yeah, I mean, Yags is great. Yeah.
I love the guys that dress up like him. That's. Yeah. I wish I did that one.
With the mullets, everywhere he's been.
That's, so and he good. Salutes him. He salutes him now like he knows him. I just love Yager.
It's a great
game. Yager's one of the best ever.
Yeah. It's a great game. Great fans. Great. It's just an awesome. It's a small little world. You know, the hockey world is.
He spoiled Wayne's last game, Yager.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He scored like the game tying goal and then the game winning goal.
Oh, man. Come on.
But Wayne was like, hey, he's the next, you know.
He
basically was until he went to the KHL.
It's unbelievable what Yager is still doing in the league.
He still looks good.
It's unreal.
He made a pass last night that was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's still got it. I mean, if you can still do it and you're healthy and you're loving it, I say keep playing.
Oh, he works out like at 3 in the morning. He's back at the key to the rink.
I watched the Gordie Howe 30-32. And he was playing at 53. Still making passes.
With his sons.
Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Latest word was Gordie is feeling better.
Well, thank God.
So,
I hope so.
Tap of the stick.
Exactly. Mr. Hockey. Well, guys, that was a good one, man. That was really, Eli, great guest, man.
Hey, I'm so.
We got a good one. Like, we didn't even do the sheet. We got like 3 things.
We did? That's it?
I mean, who cares? I know we just talked.
Show. Well, fun show.
I'm like Pat Quinn. I overprepare.
Right?
I'm like Dan Blausma. I come in with a plan.
Yeah.
It's great. I spend a lot of time. My brother and I are really close, and he, you know. We call him the Oracle. So, like, I can talk some hockey, but my brother, you want to go deep? He'll talk to you about the all the numbers, the Fenwick numbers and Corsi numbers and advanced statistics. I mean, he's just, even for a Canadian hockey fan, he's got a whole other gear to him. So That's why I'm stealing all his good stuff today.
No, no, no.
You were good.
No.
You were great.
You were fabulous. Now, you have your own salon, correct?
No, I don't. Oh. I just work in a salon in Beverly Hills. It's that's another whole topic, but
no, but yeah, well,
you're the best in the world, though. You're at the top.
You give it a plug because someone would bring their lady there, get their hair, and they can talk hockey with you for an hour.
It's all good.
Well, someone's in the dryer.
No, it's called Mesh Salon in Beverly Hills. It's on Burton Way. It's a great salon,
cool.
Packed, a lot of interesting people come through there. Let's just say
I bet you hear a lot of crazy conversations.
It's been a wild ride being a hairdresser, I'll tell you that much. So,
oh, that's cool, man. You're one of the top.
Hey,
yes.
I've been lucky.
Top
been
of
really
the
lucky.
League.
Really lucky.
Mrs. Gretzky.
Man.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Right there.
She's cool. All right, well, good show, buddy.
Yeah, it was awesome. I will be at the Ice House Tuesday, December 2nd. For the inaugural insensitivity training show.
Good.
With me and Court McCowan and some pipe hitters.
Great. If you will. Court McCowan's one of the best.
Yeah. It'll be a good one. And you're on the mothership anywhere else this week?
Well, I'm at Laugh Factory for the Thanksgiving thing that Jamie Masada, the owner, always does where he feeds homeless people.
Yeah, I did that once.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. And we do a show for everybody, and it's fun. I'll be there. And then, got KLOS going on Sunday night, 95.5.
Busy man.
Got a few things going over
the
holiday.
It's the best. Isn't Frazier the best?
Thank God.
I mean, I get to do this with a legend.
I love it.
Well, I got my wing shirt out, man. I found it in my closet. So it was a fun show, guys. Thanks so much for joining
thank
us,
you guys,
Eli.
For
we appreciate
me.
It. And thank you, Joe Bartnick. We'll see you guys next
Happy
week.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. This
and
is
all the
off.
Troops out there, have a great holiday.
You guys have a good holiday. We're out.